Good evening, Patriots. This is Praying Medic, and this is my QAnon broadcast for Saturday, February 8th. Those of you who are following along at home, doing your own decodes and fact-checking me, you can find Q posts on a number of different websites, including QAnon.pub, QMap.pub, and QAlerts.app. If you have a mobile device you'd like to get notifications on when Q is posting, QMap has an app. There's also the Q Alerts. There's Q Alerts Lite, and I believe Q Drops is still available in the Android in the Play Store. I have been told that the Get Pushed app is still doing notifications if you have an iOS device. So there you go if you'd like to get your notifications at home. My theme for this broadcast is it's time to wake up. We're going to go back in time a little bit and look back at some history Q posts. So October 31st, 2017, Q said that Barack Obama, Vladimir Putin, Hillary Clinton, and other world leaders were all controlled by three families. A fourth family was removed from power after Trump's victory. So that was October 31st. Saudi arrests, there was an arrest of a number of members of the Saudi royal family and Saudi businessmen on November 4th. Then on November 11th, Q posted and said, why were the events in Saudi Arabia extraordinary? Who was arrested? We have a lot of Saudi princes who were arrested. What will the bank records provide? List of names. Al-Waleed bin Talal was one who was arrested, who had major shares in Citigroup and a lot of U.S. media companies. Then we have the House of Saud. House of Saud, U.S. control, follow the money. What power shift recently occurred? Was a new king appointed? Coincidence? One side of the triangle removed, first time in history, other sides falling. So with the removal of corrupt Saudi princes, their assets were seized, and a lot of them were arrested. The House of Saud lost its control over a lot of UK and US politicians. Now, they don't control all politicians, but they do control, or they did, control key politicians, and they no longer do. So since then, there's been a battle to free the world, world leaders from the grip of corrupt people who have controlled them. There are still people in control like George Soros, and his his time of controlling people is coming to an end. So this post from March of 2018, Q posted and said, thank you, Kim, speaking of Kim Jong-un. Deal made, clowns out, strings cut, we took control, Iran next. So as the president and his people are cutting the strings of control to world leaders, they're able to do things that they weren't able to do in the past. And that allowed Kim to meet with President Trump in Singapore for peace talks. And then Trump and Kim have been negotiating on denuclearization since then. In 2009, when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, she launched the famous Russia Reset Program, where the U.S. hoped to improve its strained relations with Russia. To be honest, the relations between U.S. and Russia weren't all that strained at that time. That was only a public narrative. And Hillary and Barack Obama needed that Russian reset as a public, publicly display, a signal to the public to say, hey, we're not going to be hostile toward Russia anymore because we have some things we need to do with them collaboratively, and we're going to do the Russia reset, right? The Russia reset allowed dozens of tech companies to build a knockoff of Silicon Valley there called Skolkovo, and it included Google, Cisco, Intel, a lot of Silicon Valley tech companies. And of the 28 companies that were involved in that project, 17 were donors to the Clinton Foundation or paid Bill Clinton to give speeches. So, was there pay for play there? Hard to say. The Russia reset also paved the way for the sale of the North American Uranium One company to the Russian state-owned energy company Rosatom. And several things came from the sale of Uranium One. Former head of Russia's uranium company made four hidden donations. This is Ian Telfer to the Clinton Foundation, totaling $2.35 million. Actually, I think around 200,000 of that was declared by the Clinton Foundation in their records. The rest of it was had to be found through it was donated through a nonprofit organization that Telfer owned, a Canadian company, and researchers had to go and dig and find that information. Bill Clinton was paid $500,000 for one speech in Moscow by a Kremlin-backed bank that was heavily involved in brokering the Uranium One deal. FBI uncovered evidence that Russian nuclear industry officials engaged in bribery, kickbacks, extortion, and money laundering. That was actually one guy got prosecuted. He was the head of the trucking company that ended up get they had a license to transport uranium internationally, and that gentleman, the CEO of that company, ended up getting arrested and indicted involved in the bribery and kickback scheme. Clinton Foundation received $145 million from foreign investors that were involved in uranium deal. A lot of those donations to the Clinton Foundation are a bit murky because they are foreign companies, and a lot of these donations only give a range. So the range from 5 million to 10 million, or a range from 10 million to 25 million. You get a range, but you don't know exactly how much was donated. FBI agents have an eyewitness and documents to support the most explosive parts of the Uranium One story. That is all going to come out at some point. And Clinton mega donor Frank Holmes lied about selling Uranium One before Clinton approved the deal. So, a lot of scandals involved in Uranium One. Like I said, when U.S. Attorney Huber is ready to unseal some indictments, we're going to learn all about that. A lot of us already know, but the public is going to know. Democrats claim that Russia is the eternal bogeyman that only wants to destroy the United States. The Russia reset and Obama's hot mic statements prove this narrative
But when Barack
to be
Obama told
false.
Dmitry Medvedev he'd have more flexibility on difficult issues like missile defense after the U.S. election, TV cameras were rolling.
My last election, yeah. That's my election.
Yep, so tell Vladimir that after the election I'll have more flexibility. People like Obama and Hillary Clinton and John Kerry have long known that Russia is not actually the threat that they have made it out to be. And when it's convenient, they signal back and forth that they're actually sort of working with Russia in a lot of respects. This is all a smokescreen. All right, so let's get to Ukraine. This is kind of what Q has been talking about lately. While Ukraine battled Russia, the Obama administration provided aid to Ukraine, but none of it was military. So again, we have this narrative from a lot of politicians saying that Russia is this horrible, evil monster. We have to always guard against Russia taking over other nations, annexing other countries. And yet, for some reason, the Obama administration refused to provide military aid to Ukraine. The only aid that they gave that there was a lot they gave them actually quite a bit of financial aid to accelerate customs reform, fighting corruption, extending decentralization, expanding support for energy security, but nothing that was military. So Ukraine could have definitely used some military aid when they were fighting against Russia, but Obama never gave them any military aid. Why is that? Well, during his impeachment, the Dems accused the president of illegally withholding military aid to Ukraine. They said that Ukraine desperately needed the military aid, and Trump was some kind of a vicious monster for withholding military aid to Ukraine, aid that Obama never even authorized. If withholding military aid to Ukraine is such a terrible decision, how do you explain Obama's decision not to approve any military aid to Ukraine? This was a post by Q February 6th, 2 days ago. Think Hillary, Russia reset statement. Think Hussein, I'll have more flexibility after the election, hot mic statement to Russian, that was Medvedev. Question to Hussein regarding Putin. Think Hussein, White House refusal to send weapons to Ukraine. Republicans in Congress pushed to assist, but instead they only sent blankets. Think Dem attacks against POTUS for failure to protect Ukraine against Russian aggression. Impeachment in brackets. So these are things we've all just gotten up to speed on. What advanced weapons did POTUS send to Ukraine? He sent anti-tank missiles. 2 + 2 = 6. Well, no, actually it doesn't. But if you follow the logic of people that have been attacking President, you come up with 6. Define projection. Think $1.8 billion that the Hussein White House sent to Ukraine, which bank? Think U.S. aid to Ukraine. Think worldwide aid to Ukraine. Think Uranium One, sale of U.S. uranium to Russia. Sold out U.S. to benefit Russia for personal financial gain. Risk U.S. national security for personal financial gain. How was payment made to U.S. persons? We're going to find out about that. Think Ukraine. Think Iran. Russia and Iran allies, they are. Iran is actually a satellite or a proxy of Russia in a lot of respects. Russia, Iran, and China allies. U.S. political corruption in China. U.S. political corruption in Ukraine. Brackets. U.S. leverage of, on behalf of. U.S. political corruption related to Russia. U.S. political corruption related to Iran. Common denominator. China, Russia, and Iran. Closed financial systems, logical thinking. So we're going to look a little bit at the closed financial systems, the money laundering aspect of this, and this is going to be a bit of a deep dive. So fasten your seatbelts. All right. I stayed up till almost midnight doing this thread last night, and then I got up and finished it this morning. So what bank received $1.8 billion in aid from the Obama administration? That would be Privat Bank in Ukraine. They received $1.8 billion as part of a bailout agreement. That bank, Privat Bank, was owned by a corrupt oligarch, Igor Kolomoisky. The money then vanished into a web of shell companies. Actually, Glenn Beck explains this in his recent video from, I think it was Wednesday night, he posted it. It's a show that's about an hour and a half long. He explains how Kolomoisky, owner of Privat Bank, this $1.8 billion went into the bank, went out into a web of shell companies, and then mysteriously vanished. And no one has seen it since then. Well, officially no one has seen it. I'm sure a few politicians have seen some of it. Come back to them. So the $1.8 billion, it was part of a larger $18 billion bailout. It was structured by the International Monetary Fund and the United States to prevent the financial collapse of Ukraine. Now that bailout was approved in March of 2014. It's a New York Times article about it. And then a year later in February of 2015, that $18 billion bailout was expanded to $40 billion. So now the International Monetary Fund and the US are going to arrange a $40 billion bailout, which was nothing compared to the TARP bailout of the banks back in 2009. But still, it's a lot of money going out to a government that is known for corruption. So, Q wrote, think U.S. aid to Ukraine, worldwide aid to Ukraine, Uranium One sale, sold out, benefit. I think Q is hinting that a lot of this money that goes out as foreign aid is probably ending up in the pockets of corrupt people, and some of it's coming back to the pockets of politicians. This is a post from January 5th, 2019. Why do Dems always push and force Republicans to include spending bills for approval, billions of dollars in foreign aid? Who audits where the money actually goes? How do politicians become extremely wealthy while in office on government salaries? How do XYZ organizations remain funded? A couple of links there. Why do D's always only care about control and power? Power of the purse, power equals protection. The wheels of corruption, welcome to the con. So Q then posted this. This is on the 6th, bigger than you can imagine. More than selling of state secrets, more than selling of U.S. security, more than selling military tech, more than selling CIA assets. So what is Q talking about here? Well, we know that there have been a lot of arrests recently with people who have been selling military secrets, weapons technology secrets to China. We know that Hillary Clinton was found with special access program on her unsecured server. We know that, there was an article from the New York Times, I think this was in 2011, that 19 CIA assets were killed or imprisoned in China due to leaked information. And Q has hinted that Hillary actually sold that information to the Chinese, which allowed them to track down CIA assets and kill them. So Q writes, more than selling NSA bulk data collection programs. Wait a minute, are you telling me that the leak by Snowden of NSA data collection programs was a sale of those programs? Yeah, probably. Selling uranium, selling U.S. space technology, national security programs and positions, selling U.S. aid, SAPs, classified, class 1 through 99. So there are even more things here that are classified that we don't know about yet. Then Q writes, crimes against humanity. Well, then there's that, right? So human trafficking and everything else that goes with it. When you cannot destroy or defeat the United States of America by attacking head-on, you change tactics and deploy a kill from within internal in brackets operation. So you destroy the country's economy, its financial system. You destroy the military, defund it. You destroy the police and discredit the police and stir up a lot of public hostility, animosity toward the police. Gee, we haven't seen that lately, have we? You divide the citizens into races, age, gender, political beliefs, religious beliefs. And then you collapse the border. You install like-minded leaders in key positions of U.S. government. How many people were removed from the FBI had Iranian family backgrounds? The silent war continues, Q. So corrupt people tried to destroy the United States from without. When they failed, they had to destroy it from within. People like, well, as Q mentioned, placing like-minded people in positions of power. So Barack Obama, John Kerry, and John Brennan are all sympathetic to Islam. Valerie Jarrett, Peter Strzok, and Lisa Page all have Iranian connections. Huma Abedin was raised in Saudi Arabia. And there are other people in government who have similar backgrounds and similar ideologies, but a lot of them are being removed. Q wrote this, control over the media has kept people in the dark. Control over the media has kept people at heel, behind. Control over the media has kept people focused on falsehoods. Control over the media has kept people in a constant state of fear. Control over the media has divided our republic into segments, divided by race, religion, class, political affiliation, gender, weaponized in brackets. When a citizenry is divided, they have no collective power. When a citizenry has no collective power, they can no longer control the levers that govern them, and they become slaves. Levers of control in brackets. Illusion of democracy. So the politicians continue telling us that we live in a democracy. They have to maintain that illusion of democracy. But in fact, the puppet masters who control them also control society. It's just an illusion of democracy. All right, Benny Johnson was cued for a video where Tucker Carlson explained the new way forward, a congressional bill proposed in the House that would allow criminal illegal aliens a path to citizenship. This is a 9-minute video. I'm not going to include it in this broadcast. You can check it out. It's on YouTube, a number of other places. And that is kind of a frightening bill. So Q posted a link to that tweet, "It's time to wake up." Tucker's description of that bill should be a wake-up call to voters who have supported these members of Congress, and if you want to know who they are, well, here's a list. So we've got some of the usual suspects, Presley, I think Ilhan Omar and Tlaib and Ocasio-Cortez, you know, the usual suspects all supported this bill. Those people need to be removed from Congress immediately, if not sooner, in the next election. And President Trump tweeted out, "Don't worry, it won't happen," which is true. It seems likely that that bill is not going to have enough support to pass in the House. Even if it does pass in the House, it won't go anywhere in the Senate. But it is a good illustration of the mindset and the thinking of people who literally want to destroy our country. So Q posted a link to a tweet by Joe M. Storm is upon us. Who did a new video called "The Best Is Yet to Come." It's awesome. It is about a 3-minute video. It takes the last 3 minutes, I think, of the president's State of the Union address, and it's put to music. It's actually very good. If you have a chance to check it out on YouTube, I would definitely have a listen to it. All right, on the 6th, Q posted this. It's a link to a Washington Examiner article. And Q said, "Read carefully. Big development. Senate back to work. Impeachment goal was to delay. Witness request meant to delay. Will they try again? Accountability is coming." So the link is to a story about Senator Ron Johnson and Chuck Grassley. Johnson is Homeland Security. Chuck Grassley is Senate Finance. They have requested and are receiving financial documents related to Hunter Biden. And, you know, some people are saying, "Oh, this is a nothing burger. It's not going to go anywhere. No one's going to get prosecuted." Or, look, this is a long string, and they're starting to pull the string. And it's going to lead to other documents, other investigations, other disclosures. They're going to find out about all the corruption related to other politicians all connected to Ukraine. The Pelosi's and John Kerry and everybody else who's got their fingers in that little cookie jar over there, they're all going to be exposed. This is just the beginning of it. All right, Q posted this couple of links to. One is a Yahoo News article, and the other is it's a DOJ announcement of arrests of a Harvard professor. And Q wrote, "Why is China and Qatar, or Qatar, if you prefer, donating vast sums of money to our education institutions? Is it really so hard to believe, F in brackets, foreign actors are able to bribe those in key positions within the U.S. to betray their country?" So, Harvard leads all American universities. They've received $93 million from China. And coincidentally, last week, three people were indicted on charges of lying about their ties to China. Among them was Dr. Charles Lieber. He's a chair of Harvard's university, their chemistry and biology department. He actually had contracts with the Department of Defense and National Institutes of Health, and had also been receiving money from China to do research, and was giving information to the Chinese and had not disclosed that to the government. So, We're learning more about this. I think Mike Pompeo today gave an address where he was talking about the serious threat that China poses to our national security. And I haven't listened to that video yet, but I will probably get a listen to it. And all these hidden connections to China are coming out. All right, so Methods was cued for this video, short video. Glenn Beck breaks down the money laundering operation that the Obama administration allegedly ran in Ukraine. This is a 1-minute video. Like I said, Glenn Beck's entire show is almost an hour and a half. I listened to it a couple of times, actually, because I had to go back through and find all the documents that he presented in this special. I would definitely suggest taking about an hour and a half and listening to Glenn Beck's special. It is an eye-opener. And what I did for the remainder of this thread was I found all the documents and articles, most of the ones, all the ones I could find, and I included them in this thread, and I'm going to go through them. Q posted this, let's see, that was on the 7th. This is an old drop from Q about people who've been fired at the FBI. So Lisa Page, Mike Cortan, Josh Campbell, Michael Steinbach, and McCabe, Comey, Rubicki, right, all these people were fired. Q asked, if dirty cops ran the investigation into the DNC breach, could an argument be made that it was corrupt? Well, of course they could. Q has been telling us for a long time the DNC was not hacked by Russians. It was a leak by Seth Rich. If dirty cops ran the investigation into election interference, could an argument be made that it was corrupt? Well, of course it could. If dirty cops ran the investigation into Hillary's private server email scandal, could an argument be made it was corrupt? Yes, and Hillary's in brackets. Russia did not hack, penetrate the DNC server. Internal DL release, CrowdStrike manipulation of source. Russia did not interfere with the US election of 2016. CrowdStrike manipulation of source. The truth will be made public. So all of us who have been called conspiracy theorists have been talking about CrowdStrike manipulating the server to make it look like it was a Russian hack. And all of us who've been talking about Seth Rich actually being the source, it sounds like we're going to be vindicated soon. All right, Glenn Beck's full video, Ukraine, the final piece. Check that out if you have time. Good video. Beck believes that the Obama administration helped fund Ukraine's war by sending non-military aid to Ukraine, which was laundered, financial aid, which was laundered and then made its way into the pockets of Ukrainian oligarch who may have used that money to fund his military operation. So I'm going to just go through some of the documents and articles that I found that Beck brought out in this special. Ihor Kolomoisky was appointed governor of one of the regions in southeast Ukraine in 2014. He was the founder of Privat Bank, where a lot of this money is being laundered through. He poured millions of dollars into volunteer battalions, military battalions that fought the rebel militia to the east. So Kolomoisky was the founder of Privat Bank. That's the bank that received $1 billion in aid, which disappeared into the web of shell companies. Kolomoisky became very wealthy off loans made to Ukraine by the International Monetary Fund. There's a link to an article here that explains the details. It's actually, I think it's either German or it's written in another language. I had to put it in Google Translate and get it translated so I could read it. If you're interested, you can come to my thread on Twitter and look up all these documents. International Monetary Fund was concerned about corruption in Ukraine, justifiably so. Ukrainian President Poroshenko nationalized Privat Bank to ease their fears. When he nationalized Privat Bank, that effectively removed Kolomoisky from the picture. And Kolomoisky then sued to try to get back control of Privat Bank, but he lost. And it's still nationalized today. So the mainstream media has always insisted that in February of 2016, there was no open investigation into Burisma and corruption related to Kolomoisky and other people in that string. Well, the prosecutor at the time said there was an investigation and he intended to interrogate Devin Archer, Hunter Biden, and others before he was fired. This is a transcript of an interview where that was his story, that he actually was going to interrogate Biden and Archer and others before he got fired. So link there to the document. Again, that's a Ukrainian document that had to be translated into English. All right. On February 4th, and this is, if you listen to Rudy Giuliani, he's been talking a lot about the early February, what was going on. Joe Biden made a number of trips to Ukraine and had a number of phone calls to Poroshenko in February of 2016. And this is at the time when the Ukrainian prosecutor was investigating. He said he was going to be interrogating Biden, Hunter Biden, Devin Archer, and others. So when the media tells you there was no investigation going on, there was an investigation going on. And here's even more proof. Burisma's founder, Mykola Zolochevsky, had his property seized by Ukrainian prosecutors. The investigators suspected him of engaging in corruption. Here's an article that talks about his property being seized. So there's a number of lines of evidence that prove that there was an active investigation going on at that time. Now, Hunter Biden he's been asked to appear in court regarding a paternity suit and child support. He has repeatedly refused to provide financial statements upon which his child support would be based. Last week, he agreed to a settlement, and a hearing was scheduled for March. Now, the settlement is he's going to be paying, you know, a certain amount of money in child support. The amount of child support he's paying was redacted from the court documents. It's been undisclosed, and there is a hearing scheduled for March, where Hunter is supposed to provide financial statements before that hearing. He has not yet provided any financial statements to the court. Now, why does Hunter Biden not want to provide financial statements to the court? Is he trying to hide something? All right, so this is an article from PJ Media. Hunter Biden is accused of $156 million counterfeiting scheme with Burisma, CrowdStrike, and Five Eyes and other companies that got paid. I don't know how you pay the Five Eyes, but anyway, this is a legal filing that was filed by a private investigation firm, DNA Investigations, in Hunter Biden's paternity case. They notified the court of felonies, including fraud and counterfeiting, to the tune of $156 million. And yes, the investigators state that the links between Burisma and CrowdStrike, and they put in quotes here, Burisma Holdings Limited, finances Atlantic Council Ukraine. Atlantic Council is heavily financially supported by George Soros, and associated rogue operatives from the Department of State, Five Eyes, CrowdStrike in Ukraine using PrivatBank. So apparently these were the payees. They were receiving money through PrivatBank in this money laundering scheme. Pretty interesting stuff. And I think all of this is going to come out. I have a link here to the court filing. Now, I have no way to verify this information. This is just information provided by a private investigative firm that was hired, I'm guessing, by the attorneys for the plaintiff. All right. On July 25th, President Trump had his phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky. There's a link here to the transcript, July 25th. Now, one of the narratives that has been used against the president is to say he was kind of doing this on his own. He wasn't really collaborating or coordinating with any other agencies. He unilaterally decided to withhold aid from Ukraine. There's some evidence that suggests that's probably not true. Because on July 25th, the same day Trump made the phone call, the IMF said it had a standby loan that it had prepared for Ukraine for $3.9 billion. But it was contingent upon further talks with the incoming government later on in the year. And the IMF also conditioned the loan on reforms to Ukraine's oligarchic structure. So here's a link to a press briefing that day by the IMF that contains their position on all that. That same day, July 25th, IMF alternate managing director wrote an editorial expressing optimism that Ukraine had turned a corner financially. Now, it looks like the IMF was in sync with Trump and that they were structuring their loan and they were holding back the loan until they could verify that Ukraine had dealt with its corruption problem. Now, the IMF visited Kiev on September 10th. To investigate Ukraine's reforms in person. Actually, they said in this statement here that they're going to be visiting twice, September 10th and September 24th. All right, September 10th is an important date because that is the day that the government officially released the aid to Ukraine. as disclosed in this email from Mike Duffy. He was with the Office of Management and Budget. This is September 10. Since we began this discussion on Ukraine funds, OMB has been clear in its footnotes that DOD is authorized and funds the available to continue all processes up until an obligation event, and the rest is redacted. The obligation event, from what I understand, is the verification that Ukraine had dealt with its corruption issue. And that was actually mentioned by the IMF, and that's why they were holding back this $3.9 billion bailout money. Was they also had an obligation event. They wanted to verify that Ukraine had dealt with its corruption. Now, September 11th, the next day, Duffy sent an email saying, glad to have this behind us. All right, here's the date, September 11. Also on September 11, Ukrainian President Zelensky met with Ihor Kolomoysk to discuss business in Ukraine, and particularly the energy sector. Also on September 11th, the police raided PrivatBank and seized a number of financial records. this is a Reuters article that day. Now, the PrivatBank issued a statement saying that Special Forces police came and raided the bank. And a lot has been made about the use of Special Forces. I think that may be a little bit of exaggeration. That term was used by the bank officials, but the articles I read lead me to believe it was just a normal law enforcement operation. Police came in, they asked for certain records, and they left. And this, again, was part of an investigation to verify that the people who were running PrivatBank were not involved in corruption. So that was on September 11th. It seems to me that the president has been working with the IMF and maybe Zelensky to make sure that this corruption issue has been dealt with once and for all. All right. I want to circle back to Russia, China, Syria, and Iran for a minute and look at their compliance with various agreements and treaties. This report was released in August of 2019 by the State Department. Report on adherence to and compliance with arms control, non-proliferation, and disarmament agreements and commitments. This is going to be fairly short. Although China signed a zero-yield nuclear weapons testing moratorium with the United States, the State Department believes they're likely in violation of that agreement. They've noted that they likely were testing, making nuclear weapons tests in 2018. Same thing for Russia. Russia also signed an agreement, and the State Department also believes Russia is in violation of the zero yield nuclear testing agreement. For many years, Iran had harbored secret nuclear weapons facilities and weapons programs. They've denied access to IAEA inspectors. That's included in this report. and this report basically says nothing has changed. Iran continues to conceal the details of its nuclear weapons programs. And Syria, essentially the same thing is happening there. Syria has also concealed its nuclear weapons programs from inspectors and governing agencies. There was an interesting little finding in this report. It says that the report noted that the reactor had features comparable to the gas-cooled graphite-moderated reactor at Yongbyon in North Korea. So there was a nuclear reactor at this facility. And upon inspecting it, they noted that it was very similar in design to a reactor in North Korea. Now, why is that irrelevant? Well, back in 2017, November 1st of 2017, Q wrote, why did Obama administration do little to slow North Korea's nuclear and missile capabilities? Who feeds North Korea strategic intelligence? Iran? Right. So if we go back to this, we know that Syria gets a lot of its nuclear technology from Iran. Syria is sort of an Iranian proxy state. And Iran feeds the information to Syria and also to North Korea. And this is something Q told us about Oh gosh, a little over 2 years ago. All right, I need to announce an error that I made in my book, Calm Before the Storm. So if you have the print version of Calm Before the Storm, you'll notice that there is, I'm going to cover a little error that I made there. If you have the Kindle version and you've updated it in the last week or so, you probably have the new file. On page 174 in the print book, I made an error calculating the time zone differences. And Key was referencing a post that suggested that the president may have secretly flown to Las Vegas the night of the mass shooting on October 1st, 2017. I incorrectly calculated the time zone difference. The shooting happened at 10 p.m. in Las Vegas, which was 1 a.m. in D.C., not 7 p.m. as I wrote. And that's relevant because I finished up the chapter with a conclusion that by the time the president had returned to the White House from the President's Cup golf tournament, it was around almost 8 o'clock on the East Coast. And I said, well, if the shooting happened at 7 o'clock in Washington, he wouldn't have had time to get to Las Vegas before the shooting. He would have been after the shooting. That's not true, because 10 o'clock in Las Vegas is 1 a.m. In D.C. So, in fact, if Trump made a trip to Las Vegas that night, he would have had plenty of time to arrive there before the shooting happened. So, I have uploaded new manuscripts to Kindle and the print manuscripts. Anyone who gets the book after the changes are made, they'll get the new copy of that. All right. Q had a couple of drops this morning while I was doing my Supernatural Saturday broadcast. All right. So we have one drop that's a YouTube video, and it's some music. And we have this quote: "For every item that carries the darkness of humanity, there's one that holds a light, and that light is worth believing in, not just in others, but in yourself as well." C.M. Rain. Trust and believe in yourself. The silent war continues. All right. The silent war. What is a silent war? People have been asking me. Well, it's become a Q signature. And we're in a war where darkness and corruption is being exposed. But the people, the good people who are exposing the corruption, they don't have the ability to be very public about what they're doing. So on their re side, it's kind of a silent war. The corrupt people themselves are subterfuging and hiding their real agenda. They're coming after the president, but not, they won't come out and say, "Look, we're terrified that he's going to put us in jail because we're corrupt." So it's about other things. They are pre-painting a false narrative. So there's a war going on, but the signaling, the messaging on the war is not, that the average person is not able to pick up what the real messaging is. They're hearing the noise, but they're not picking up the signal, as Steve Bannon would say. All right, the link Q provided, it's Future Heroes, Archangel, dramatic orchestral, I think it's a very nice little piece of music. I liked it. Check it out on YouTube. The quote from the above post is from the book The Forbidden Land of Andara by C.M. Rain. You can find that on Amazon or probably any other bookstores if you want to check it out. High Fives 12 was cued for this video. It's a good video. Basically, it shows the mainstream media kind of freaking out about Q, losing their mind, trying to explain how Q has become so popular, how is the Q movement spreading, and Q supporters are explaining that, look, this is a movement about truth. We're exposing corruption. We're supporting the president. And the media is just kind of shock and awe about what is going on with this Q movement. It is growing, expanding exponentially. Yeah, Mika Brzezinski just looks like a deer in the headlights. Like, what is going on? How is this spreading? So, good video. Check it out. And let's see. Q posted an excerpt from a criminal complaint filed by a Homeland Security agent that complaint is in reference to a New Jersey corrections officer who is charged with receiving child pornography. The accused said that cheese pizza is a reference to child porn, and this is from the complaint written by a Homeland Security officer. So that's, if you go to these links here, this is the DOJ link to the announcement. And then if you go in that announcement in the DOJ link, there's another link to a PDF. And if you open up that PDF, you'll come, this is a statement from the Homeland Security officer. And he explains that on or about May 2017, law enforcement officer working in an undercover capacity responded to a Craigslist personals advertisement placed by Salmac, who is the going to be the defendant in this case, entitled Woman Moms That Are Into Cheese Pizza. And Salmac goes on to explain that cheese pizza was a reference to child pornography. That, of course, was kind of a big deal back in 2016 when the Pizzagate thing got started. And people who believe that were called conspiracy theorists. But now we have evidence that that is, in fact, the case. And that is going to get us caught up to Q. Thank you for sharing this on social media. If you like this broadcast, you might want to subscribe to my broadcast. Please keep me and Denise in prayer. Keep Q and the team in prayer. Keep the president in prayer. Denise and I love you all. We thank you for your prayers and support. Take care. I'll catch you on the next broadcast.